Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first track on rock artist Joan Jett's 1983 album called Album was a song that she co-wrote with producer Kenny Laguna titled Fake Friends. As the song title suggests, the song was about people who appear to be your friends, but really are not your friends. When the song came out, it resonated with me in the midst of high school, and it still resonates with me today. I imagine the song might also resonate with some of you. And it might also resonate with our Lord. As we heard in tonight's reading of the third section of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four gospel accounts, Peter, in some sense, is certainly an example of a friend who, in the song words, was not there when Jesus was down. And we know from elsewhere in the Holy Scripture how Peter came around when Jesus got back up. Tonight, as we reflect on the scene of our Lord's Passion at the palace of the high priest, we do so under the theme, Peter's Denial. You may recall, as we heard last week, that Jesus had previously prophesied both of the disciples taking offense and being scattered generally, and of Peter's denial particularly, which the others and Peter vehemently insisted would not happen. But by the time that scene of our Lord's Passion in Gethsemane was over, all of the disciples had forsaken him and fled. It was only a matter of time before, as we heard tonight, Jesus' prophecy came true about Peter's denying him. Whoever compiled the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four gospel accounts that we've been reading had to make decisions about including or omitting the different details that each individual gospel account by divine inspiration reports. Differences and seeming contradictions among the details about such things as the number of times the rooster would crow and who individually challenges Peter and prompts his three denials, those seeming contradictions are just that, seeming contradictions. The differences can be reasonably harmonized, such as by admitting that Jesus could have made the prophecy more than once and in different forms, or that the different evangelists may have recorded the prophecy with different levels of detail. Regardless of those details, we get the general idea of Peter's moving further away from the high priest's palace, being challenged even by simple servant girls, and three times denying with subsequent oaths and even curses. As we Sunday received the Landry family by transfer, they and all of us who were here we're reminded that whoever confesses Jesus before men will be confessed by Jesus before his Father in heaven. But whoever denies Jesus before men will be denied by Jesus before his Father in heaven. Those are the two possibilities: our confession or denial, with the resulting confession or denial, respectively, by Jesus. We heard Peter deny Jesus before the people three times. Peter himself would later refer to the Jews denying Jesus before Pilate. And we should also think of our own denying Jesus. By Peter, at least, we who have had a previous relationship of faith in Jesus at times deny him who is true God in human flesh, either by failing to confess our discipleship, failing to serve our neighbors, or failing to teach truly about Jesus. Ultimately, we fail completely in respect to the total truth before God. As our office hymn put it, like our parents' flesh and blood, we by nature were turned inward from the highest good and and constantly denied him. We heard that after his denials, Peter remembered Jesus' prophecy and went out, broke down, and wept bitterly. Peter was sorry for his sin. And we know from elsewhere in Holy Scripture that unlike Judas, who was sorry for betraying Jesus but despaired of God's mercy, Peter combined his sorrow with faith that God would forgive his sin. God truly calls and offers the ability to all people to so combine sorrow over sin with faith that God forgives sin for Jesus' sake. And when we so repent, then God truly forgives our sin of denying Jesus or whatever our particular sin might be. God truly forgives all our sin for the sake of his son, Jesus. While Peter was in the outer courtyards denying Jesus, Jesus was inside the palace of the high priest, confessing the truth about himself as the great I Am and as the Son of Man, who eventually would be seated at the right hand of God's power and come with the clouds of heaven. The Jewish leaders wrongly judged Jesus guilty and sentenced him to death. But Jesus suffered that death on the cross for the sins of the world. All of us who rightly would have been judged guilty and sentenced to death, both here in time and torment in hell for eternity, if not for God's love, mercy and grace for the sake of his son Jesus' death on the cross for us. And so we cry out to the Lord, as we did in the psalm, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath, but make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And the Lord answers our cry, giving us the forgiveness of sins through his word and sacraments. Tonight's opening hymn and the office hymn mention God's restoring in us his image that was lost after Adam's fall and by our own sin. Especially the office hymn rightly points to holy baptisms, washing away our denial and other sins. And the office hymn also calls us to hold on to our baptisms and use them as we live as faithful Christians and do good works according to our various callings in life. Included in those good works are our not denying, but confessing Jesus, as we privately confess to our pastor the sins that trouble us most for the sake of individual holy absolution, and as we seek his forgiveness also with his body and his blood in bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar. My mother was with me the last two nights as she made her way to Austin for more than a week, and she and I sang through all of Lutheran Service Book's Lenten hymns that we knew. One of the things that struck me then, which is true of our closing hymn tonight, is how the hymn authors often describe using Jesus' passion in order to help us resist temptation. Temptation from the world and no doubt also from the devil and our own sinful nature. Yet even so, using our meditation on Christ's passion in order to try to resist temptation, whether to directly or indirectly deny Jesus, we no doubt still fail. And that is when Christ's passion serves its primary purpose of comforting us with the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned for us on the cross and gives to us through his word and sacrament. There's simply no denying it. As we tonight have reflected on Peter's denial, we have realized that we are also Jesus' fake friends of a sort, that we also deny Jesus in various ways, and apart from faith in him, deserve for Jesus to deny us before his Father in heaven. God calls and enables us to combine sorrow over such denials and all our sin with faith that God forgives our sin for Jesus' sake. And when we so do combine sorrow and faith, then God forgives our denials and all our other sin. We can endure our fake friends, knowing that God is our truest friend who cannot deny himself. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.